Have a seat. This is a bittersweet time of year for preachers. This is the time of year we get a little bit in the first reading from the minor prophets. Now, the minor prophets are, it's a tricky selection of texts because they kind of have a bad reputation. There are 12 minor prophets. I won't list all of them for you, but today we're going to look at one named Amos. Now, they're called minor, not because they're not as important, but because they're actually shorter. It takes fewer scrolls to write the whole thing out, as opposed to Isaiah, which some scholars think is maybe three different books entirely that they just put into one volume for our purposes. That's what we have in our gospel. But these 12 minor prophets all kind of talk about different approaches to the same kinds of problems. And Amos is unique amongst the minor prophets because he's not a prophet. He said so himself today. It's significant to note that Amos, while considered one of the minor prophets, is actually just an ordinary guy who sees what's happening in the world, and he's had it up to here with the injustices that he sees happening to the people all around him. So he decides to leave his sheep and leave his trees and decide to go out and say something and do something about it. Just for context, the book of Amos takes place in a time of relative peace in Israel and Judah. That's the northern and southern kingdoms. They're not at war with anyone. All the other nations around them are busy at war with one another. But in this time, it's a time of peace and prosperity. And so things are generally pretty good until they are not pretty good. Amos highlights particular issues of the time. He talks about oppression of poor people. He talks about sexual immorality, wanton luxury, think about that term, and corrupt laws. Now, at this time, just for context, Amos writes in 796 BCE, before the Common Era, before Jesus is born. In 753, the city of Rome is established by Romulus. So Rome doesn't exist yet, right? So this is sort of the world that we live in, yeah, with Amos. Amos gives us some really beautiful things to hear, to say and repeat. He's the one who says, "But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream." Does that sound familiar? Yeah. That's where Martin Luther King Jr. gets it, from the book that we get to read today. But what we read today and what we'll read next week are kind of right in the beginning of the end of the book of Amos. And it doesn't really give us a lot of good news. And that's the problem with this time of year. That's what makes it bittersweet for preachers, is that we hear from the minor prophets, but we don't really hear the whole grand scope and the ultimately good news that the prophets have for us. When we read the history, the ancient texts of the Hebrew scriptures, we often understand the prophets as those who bring the judgment of the Lord, the day of the Lord's reckoning. God is angry, God is vengeful, and it's kind of a turnoff from the prophets. But in point of fact, the prophets, all of them, are preaching very good news to the people who are oppressed by injustice, by poverty, by wanton luxury, and things like that, by the great iniquities in the socioeconomic structures and systems that we live in. The minor prophets are saying to the people in charge of all of this, you need to do this differently. People are hurting. You're withholding justice from people who are oppressed. You're withholding prosperity. You're hoarding prosperity for yourself. In the case of Amos, And next week after next, we'll talk about Hosea. He's complaining about whole swaths of people being trafficked elsewhere so that people can make money off of people with no agency for themselves. It's really bad news if you're the leader of a community with responsibility to care for the people in your oversight. Amos has a structure to it. All of the minor prophets, the books, have a structure. They're not just written as one long narrative to try to get from beginning to end. It's actually crafted to tell the story in the very structure of how the story is put together, how the books are put together. In the case of Amos, we have the overarching point, which is restoring the human-divine relationship, restoring righteousness and justice in the land that God is going to, at the end, help them do, not in the way that they would like necessarily. And then it goes into three sections. The first section is Amos calling out the problems of all these communities surrounding the area. He calls out Damascus and Tyre and Judah and Gaza and several others because they're trafficking their own people. They're disregarding their own kin and murdering their own family members. There are stories of rape, stories of justice systems that are thwarted. They've over-harvested the land and are damaging their own soil. They're eroding their own ability to continue and be sustainable. But then, after he lays this judgment of the Lord upon all these cities, it's like he's coiling in, and he zeroes in on Israel itself, at the center of all of these different communities. The judgments of the Lord that Amos shares with Israel are three times worse for Israel than they are for any of those other surrounding cities. For all the bad stuff they've done, Israel gets the worst of it. And why? Because they should know better. This is the same Israel that God led out of their own captivity and enslavement in Egypt, led them through the harshness of the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. They should know better than to treat people the way that they are and allow the injustices to continue. And so God's judgment upon Israel is that much worse. Amos should scare them with the words that he shares, and he does in the reading we have today. He speaks to one of the chief priests, and the chief priest is like, look, you need to go take your prophesying somewhere else because this is Jeroboam's temple. This is the king's temple. And you can hear in that the misappropriation of the temple because it's God's temple, but the king has taken it as his own. So another affront to God. And then he says, go, you know, preach someplace else, make your living someplace else. And Amos says, I'm not a prophet. I'm just a regular guy, and I've got something really important to share with you. The overarching point of Amos and all of the minor prophets is that there is a reestablishment, how to get to or to get back to that right relationship with God. The same relationship that God had with Israel and all of humanity while God was drawing them up out of their own oppression and injustice and out of those other corrupt systems that they were in through a very difficult period in the wilderness and now back to this new covenant. That's what God is always trying to establish, whether it's in the early histories, the prophets, the wisdom literature, the gospels, or the rest of the New Testament. God is always trying to get us back to that relationship where there was trust, where there was love, where there was commitment to our relationship with God and the relationship that we have with the other people in our community, and the healthy relationship we have within ourselves. Prophets always offer good news. And part of that good news is that God hears the cry of the poor. God hears the people that were raped and trafficked and for whom justice was withheld, where they were imprisoned for no reason. God hears those cries. When you cry out in your pain, when you experience injustice, when someone is unfair to you or is cruel to you, and you cry out in your prayers, whether aloud or in the silence of your heart, I promise you, God hears that, and God cares. God might not speak back to you words of comfort the way you might hear coming out of somebody's voice like mine, but God speaks to your soul, to the ears of your heart within, to offer you comfort, to offer you hope, and to ask you to look around outside of yourself for the people in your community who, like Amos, can offer you a restoration to community, restoration to your relationship with God and one another. God hears the cries of the poor. And in the case of the community in Israel and all those surrounding cities, God amplifies those cries for justice and mercy and compassion and has something to say to the people who are responsible for making sure there is justice and mercy and compassion. For those of us who are leaders of community, whether it's the community of your family, the community of a church, the community of a town, so on and so forth, our responsibility is great to you. And it's important for your leaders, and I include myself in that, to hear the concerns of your community. Tell me if something's not right. Tell me if someone feels like they're being treated unfairly. Tell me. Tell your ratepayers association, your city council, your write a letter to your representatives at a different varying levels of government. Speak out. That's what Amos does. And things happen when ordinary people speak out when there is injustice or oppression. We hear this happening in Amos, that somebody heard and was deeply impacted by the oppression and injustice that was happening, the lack of compassion and mercy. We hear what happens when somebody hears that deeply. It's not necessarily a leader. It's just an ordinary guy named Amos. We hear it again in the gospel. Jesus tells us a story about a Samaritan. He's not a priest. He's not an important person in the community. He's just a guy. He doesn't even have a name. He's from a place called Samaria. It's so low on the list of priorities that he's just a Samaritan from there, a generic, unnamed person. And look what he does. He highlights that the importance and the holiness of compassion, of caring for a stranger, of giving of himself in whatever way he can. And there is restoration of the person's body, soul, mind, and spirit. And he doesn't do all the work because, for whatever reason, he can't. And so he gets the innkeeper to help. The guy might be there to carry him on his pack animal and bring him to an inn, bandage his wounds, but he's not able to be there for the whole thing. So he finds a way to make it happen. He pays the innkeeper. Here's some money. Take care of whatever this guy needs. And he gets help from the community. I don't know if Amos had help from the community, but the Samaritan did. And the point is that we can ask for help from one another to do the things that bring about mercy and justice and compassion. The judgment against Israel is not for the purpose of God being mean or vengeful or angry. It's for lifting up the downtrodden. It's for flipping things upside down. It's for leveling that socioeconomic playing field so that everybody benefits from the prosperity that that community is experiencing now. It's about sharing wealth and equity among people. And it's about respecting the dignity and worth of everyone. Even the unnamed people like that guy from Samaria. What was his name? I don't know. That guy. He's still important in the eyes of God. You are still important in the eyes of God. Know that while we don't know the Samaritan's name, God does. We might not know everybody's name, God does. And God knows your name and calls to you in the same way that God calls to Amos, to be aware of what's happening in the world, hear the cry of the poor, and to know that each of us is capable of doing something to help. Next week, We'll hear a little bit more from Amos, but we still aren't going to get all the way to what the good news is at the end. And then after that, we're going to hear from Hosea, and that's just 1 week. And then we move on to somebody else, but we're only ever going to get a little bit of the minor prophets. That's all we ever get. So I encourage you to learn for yourself about the minor prophets. In fact, I'm going to put in a short video in the Sunday follow-up email for you to click. It's like, I don't know, 10 minutes long, but it gives a really great overview of the book. And it might inspire you to read the book of Amos and some of the other minor prophets on your own and learn how to read them so that you get the most out of the text. Because the minor prophets and the Old Testament really is the good news of God. I want to end with one bit of blessing, because I think it works well for what we have to deal with today with the minor prophets. The good news comes from the letter to the Colossians. And let us pray. Friends, may you be made strong with all the strength that God comes from God's glorious power, while joyfully giving thanks to God, who enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. That's the good news that we have, and that's the good news that we have to share. So now go home and read the minor prophets on your own, and you tell me where the good news is.